This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Coach Jen, also from Ocala, Florida. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 3rd, 2013, episode 671. This episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's a boy, Mrs.
On your
new baby.
Everyone is really excited for you, and we know that you will be a great
parent.
Have fun posting pictures of your
adorable child, who is way cuter than all others,
all over Facebook to make your friends jealous. Yay, you did it!
Congratulations.
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 Well, I guess you get the hint that congratulations are in order to Jamie and Chad. They had their baby, I think, late Friday night. The baby's name is Luke William Jennings, 7 pounds, 3 ounces, 20 inches. And she made it a point on Friday, I think as she was in labor, to text me and tell me that if she had been on the show Friday morning and hadn't quit on Wednesday, her water would have broke during the show, which is something we had joked about for a long time. So she thought that was really funny that it would have happened. But as far as I know, everybody's doing fine. Last I heard was over the weekend, and mom and baby were healthy. Cute baby, cute as a dickens. I just posted a picture this morning on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, and little round cheeks and everything. I'll post it up there. And there's another picture if you scroll down of daddy and baby in the hospital. So I don't have any pictures of mom and baby yet, because probably Jamie broke all the cameras. I'm not sure. But I just haven't.
Well, I did spot a picture of mommy and baby over on Jamie's Facebook page. And let me tell you, daddy looks happy and proud. Mommy looks like she did all the work.
Yes. And there's a reason I didn't repost that picture. She would have killed me. So so I did not repost that picture. But I did post a picture of cute baby Luke, which is what we're going to call him from now on the show, Baby Luke. I think that's appropriate. Even when he's 25, we'll be calling him Baby Luke.
Cute Baby Luke has a nice ring to it.
Yeah, that's true. So when he's 25, we'll be still calling him Cute Baby Luke. He'll be a football player.
That's CBL. Yeah.
I tried to find some sound files this morning when I was putting that together of, oh, he's going to be a football player, but I couldn't find anything like that. So, Jamie, you were off the hook on that one. Actually, he's kind of too cute to be a football player from what I'm seeing in the picture here yet.
He's 4 hours old in that picture.
That's true. That is true. He's 4 hours old. But yeah, so I think everything is good, and that we'll keep you informed as we hear more news going down the line of what's going on. And I just played that baby crying to get you used to it for when she comes back on the air.
Yeah, we're going to hear that in the background every day.
Yes, it'll be like this. Yeah. It'll be every day.
Or maybe that will be Jamie, because she's not going to get any sleep
That's
for the
true.
Next 6 months.
That's true. That could be Jamie. She's going to have the perfect little baby, going to sleep all night. And then she always says, Chad's going to take care of him while I'm doing the show in the morning. It's Chad's job. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes. Well, we hope you all had a good weekend this weekend. We have a fun show planned for you today. What is coming up?
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, coughing and sneezing and hives. Oh, my. That's right. Dr. Chang is in the house. And this morning, he will be giving us some relief for our allergy-suffering equine partners, the who, what, where, why, and when of allergies. And enough of the suffering already. Action and adventure take over mid-program today as we are joined by the Hollywood horse wrangler extraordinaire, Bobby Lovgren, fresh from the set of this summer's next blockbuster, The Lone Ranger, out on July 3rd. We are very excited. And rounding out our Monday, Wiley, the voice of Horse Nation, pops by with a few well-deserved laughs. So stay tuned for the fracas, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Time for a Daily Whinny. My Daily Whinny today goes out to all the listeners who sent Jamie good wishes. She wanted to thank you all. She got lots of them, and she really appreciates everybody who listens to the show and has been living through this pregnancy with her to send her the good wishes that they did. I don't think one person said, "Thank God you're not pregnant anymore." Not one. And so we...
our listeners are a little bit more tactful than that.
Yeah, that'd be my job. That'd be my job for saying that. But anyway, we wanted to she wanted to say thank you to everybody out there who did send good wishes. And also to all of our friends in the Midwest who again were hit with tornadoes over the weekend. Our thoughts and prayers are with you. I know there was a lot of farms affected. We saw a video of more farms and more horses after the tornadoes on Saturday. And you know, we just want to give our best and say that our thoughts are with you again. Jennifer and I used to watch the show Storm Chasers all the time, and there were actually three storm chasers that were on the show Storm Chasers, which I think was a Discovery show, and they, you know, that passed away, and that's this last storm this last weekend. And so it, you know, tornadoes are definitely dangerous even for the storm chasers. But we have a couple of things coming up, housekeeping things that I have to take care of here. And one of them is that Wayne Williams of Speaking of Horses will be here on Monday, June the 10th. He's actually going to be in Ocala. He's flying down, and we are going to be doing a live joint show. He does a TV show called Speaking of Horses that is on some cable networks around the country and also on his website, speakingofhorses.com. And Wayne has been an announcer at many horse shows around the country. I met him at the World Equestrian Games, actually. He was doing some announcing there for some of the special events going on. Well, he is going to be coming to Ocala to spend a couple days with us here at the Horse Radio Network. And Monday morning from 9 to 10:30, the time of our normal show here at Horses in the Morning, we'll be coming to you live from Gator Trailers here in Ocala, our showroom. That's where we're going to be set up. And Wayne will be on co-hosting Horses in the Morning. And I'll be also on Speaking of Horses as we're going to be broadcasting both audio and video live. So if you want to see the show, then next Monday is the time to do it. You can watch us live on speakingofhorses.com or listen to us on Horses in the Morning like usual. We'll have some very special guests planned for next Monday. So we're hoping to get the Gentle Carousel mini horse therapy people from Gainesville. They were actually out in Oklahoma over the weekend, and the place that they had moved the horses out before this latest round of storms came through the same area, and they moved their horses south, and the place where they kept their horses was destroyed. So it's good they moved the horses. Apparently, it was quite a harrowing experience in the hotel. They had to go into the hallway and bring their mattresses and put their mattresses over them. And the hotel was damaged that they were in. So they were up close and personal with what happened over the weekend. And we'll probably hear more about that if they can make it next Monday. If they're back from Oklahoma, they said they would head on over. So we have... We're also going to be talking Gypsy Banners and Florida Horse Park. We'll be talking a whole bunch of things next Monday live here on audio and video. And we'll give you more details about that later in the week and also on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. Next up, another item of business, Wheel of Trivia on Wednesday. We will be here, even though Jamie is not. Helena will be filling in. She'll be here asking the questions and helping out on Wednesdays, hopefully, most Wednesdays from here till Jamie is back. So we appreciate Helena's help, and I look forward to doing the wheel with her. That should be a lot of fun on Wednesday. So be sure to call in. Jennifer has been working hard, and there are some new prizes on the wheel. We try and have new ones every week. And she just posted this morning that there is a gift package that includes Ultra Shield EX, Red Sport, and Green Gel. And it's over $70 worth of fantastic fly protection for your horses from the folks at Absorbine. So you can join us. I know, that's a big prize, isn't it?
Can I win that, please?
I know, it's like four bottles, isn't it? Big bottles or something?
It's two 15 ounces, a 32 ounce, and a 2 ounce total. It's like a summer's worth of fly repellent.
Wow.
Yeah.
That'll be on the wheel. Who knows if somebody will win it or not, but you have to call in and play to win. So definitely give us a call on Wednesday for that. And I think you have our first guest ready already, don't you?
I do. We would like to welcome to the show Dr. Gordon Chang, as we do every Monday at the beginning of the month. Dr. Gordon Chang is the founder of Omega Alpha Equine, and they make fantastic natural products to help your horse stay healthy and perform at his best. And welcome to the show, Dr. Chang.
Hi, Jennifer, and hi, Glenn. How are you?
Good. Hi, Dr. Chang.
I heard we have some good news there. I won't steal your thunder, but I'll let you can talk about that at some point, or maybe you have already spoken about it.
Yeah, we have. Yes, we have, and we're very excited for Jamie.
Oh, my congratulations to her.
Thank you, Dr. Chang. I'll relay that message.
Yes. Anyway.
Well, I am mildly allergic to children and infants, so that will segue into today's discussion about allergies.
What I thought we'd speak about today is allergies. More concisely or more exactly, we'd talk about seasonal allergies.
Here I thought you were going to say you had something for the baby allergy that Jennifer has.
That I can't help you with, Ben. You're on your own on that one. No, we're going to talk a little bit about seasonal allergies. Now, I wish I could tell you we had the magic bullet that would stop seasonal allergies in its tracks. Unfortunately, we don't. However, there are many different things that people can do to help alleviate the effects of seasonal allergies. One of the first things I'll talk about is detoxification. Most people don't even think of detoxification when you talk about allergies. And I'll use this chance to tell you a little story. You know, I myself suffer from seasonal allergies, from pollen and so on. But I will tell you, in the springtime, if I was to go into a smoke-filled room, I'll probably be able to sit there for about 3 minutes before I have to get up because the smoke really starts to bother me. And that's because I have the smoke on top of the added load of the allergies that the body's reacting to. Now, In the wintertime, in the middle of December, I can sit in a smoke-filled room for about half an hour without having to get out. And the reason for that is because in the wintertime, my body isn't primed with all the different allergens. You know, wintertime is practically allergen-free for me. It's the same thing with your horses. If you can detox your horses before the allergy season starts, or even during the allergy season, what you'll find is that the reaction to the allergen is a lot less. I'm not going to say it disappears altogether. It's a lot less. And if you do this program on a regular basis, what you'll find is that the reaction decreases. I wish I could tell you it'll get rid of it altogether, but no, it won't. It'll just help and alleviate some of those symptoms. Another thing that people...
Dr. Chang.
Yes.
Help. Is it like... Because I have a hard... I probably won't ever get my head around the biological processes that make this successful. Is it a little bit like the recycle bin on your computer? Every once in a while, you need to empty it out, and it's going to work more efficiently. Is that how that whole thing works?
Well, not quite like the recycle bin, because the recycle bin in a computer just stocks it away and stores it, but it doesn't keep it on the RAM memory. What happens here with the allergies, think of it this way. Your body can process only so many different type of toxins or allergens, okay? And what happens if your body is already primed, it can't process some of these allergens effectively. And so because of that, these allergens can then then run rampantly, and then the reaction creates more reactions. It's like inflammation. If you think about how inflammation works, right, what happens is that your white blood cells come in and they start to react. So they release a whole bunch of things called free radicals, enzymes, etc. And when these white blood cells release these things, these are chemical attractants to bring more white blood cells in the area. So if you think about the respiratory tract, right, so all that mucus formation, etc., causes release of histamines, releases of inflammation type chemicals. And if your body doesn't get rid of these, it just makes a bigger pool there. So then it attracts more, and so you get a worse reaction. Right, if you're able to get rid of some of these chemicals, then your body won't react as much. Right, that's the idea with it.
So you, right? so you're still allergic to something, but the reaction that your body creates to that allergen is just a lot less debilitating. So instead of sitting there with tissue stuffed up your nose, you can just have the box nearby.
That's right, hopefully.
Okay.
No, that's human terms. And horses, unfortunately, horses don't get access to tissues.
Some of them need to, let me tell you.
Yeah. And one of the worst things with the horses do is that with the allergies and the allergen season, they have problem breathing. That's one of their biggest issues, right? And fortunately, we have things that will help with some of that breathing. And that product that we'll be talking about today is Respirefree. Now, that's a nice segue into this offer that we have for today, for today's listeners, right? Until the end of day tomorrow, which is Tuesday, unfortunately, this is only for the U.S. listeners, right? We're offering a complimentary quart of free of Respirefree. This normally retails for about $39.95, but all the listeners have to do is pay shipping and handling of $12, and all you need to do is send an email to csmith@oafarma.com, csmith@oafarma.com. And in the subject line, just say HRN, Horse Radio Network, Respirefree offer. And in the email, if you don't mind, send your name, address, and phone number. And Claire will contact you about getting the product into your hands.
Well, good. And we'll post that also on our Facebook page in case somebody didn't get that.
That's wonderful.
Okay.
All right.
And now this product does, you know, what you were talking. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. What this will do? It'll help with the breathing issues. It'll help clear the mucus. It'll help open up the respiratory tract. So while your horse will probably still react to some of the allergens, it will make the horse a lot more comfortable. Right. In a way, I will call it like a natural type of antihistamine that will help with the breathing.
You know what I love about your products, too, being that, you know, they are all natural, is that when you take a look at the ingredients list, I actually recognize things on it where you don't normally with other things. So I'm taking a look at Respirefree, and I'm seeing rosemary, which I have growing out in my garden, honeysuckle, peppermint, eucalyptus leaves, menthol. I mean, all things that you do associate with breathing and clearing up your sinuses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there are probably some herbs in there you don't recognize too. And the reason that some of them you probably don't recognize, they're not common herbs that you find in the U.S. and Canada. They're not Western herbs. They're a lot more Chinese herbs. The reason we use a lot of these Chinese herbs in the formula, though, is because there's a lot more information in the scientific literature as to how these herbs work and what they do. That's why we use a lot of these Chinese herbs.
Now, how long do you keep using, you know, this product or, you know, other products, you know? Go ahead.
Yeah, unfortunately, I was going to say, as far as the treatment of allergies and so on is concerned, since we don't have a cure or so for it, you use it as long as needed. So if the allergy season lasts 3 months, again, it's a symptomatic relief. It'll help with the breathing, et cetera, make the animal a lot more comfortable. And that's what we're trying to aim at here, to make them as comfortable as possible.
So it's really the same as people. We keep taking our allergy medicine as long as we need it, you know?
That's right.
Yeah. Same as people that way. And have you found, like with Respifree, has there been a good response? Have people, had a noticeable difference?
The people have had a very good response with it as far as helping the animal breathe, open up the bronchioles, and help get rid of some of that mucus buildup, etc. So if you combine that product with the detoxification protocol I was just talking about, and by detoxification, I'm talking about a liver flush, a lung flush, as well as a kidney flush, right? And you do that in combination, what we find is that the horses are a lot more comfortable. They don't react as badly, and so you have an easier time during allergy season with this protocol.
Now, with the flushes, is that something, you named three different ones there. Is that something you do all at the same time, or you do them in rotation?
In this case, I would do them all at the same time.
Okay.
Just because you want to get something that's fairly acting fast, fairly quickly, right? This is when you would probably combine it all together at the same time and do it.
Gotcha. Okay, very good. Jennifer?
So for our competitive listeners out there, and there are plenty of them, how do you deal with, the ever-changing landscape of what tests and what doesn't?
Is it
safe to give Respifree during the competition season?
It is very safe. There's nothing in here that will give you a positive drug test, right? None of the active ingredients in here triggers a positive drug test. So it's all quite safe as far
important.
As that is concerned. That is important for competition, people in competition. But, whether you're in competition or not, if your animal is suffering and you need to help them, you've got to do something. This is one of the most, it's the least amount of side effects would be with something more natural.
And if your animal is in competition, serious competition, and has these allergies, it's going to have trouble breathing anyway. You're going to be limiting the potential anyway at that point.
That is correct.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. In almost every form of competition.
And you get the jump on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. Fascinating stuff.
All right, very good. So let's review. We will post on our Facebook page and in our show notes at Horses in the Morning how you can get the free bottle of Respifree from Omega
and that's,
Alpha.
The email address again is
csmith@oapharma.com.
And again, if you're riding your horse right now, don't be panicking. We will post it on our Facebook page and our show notes so you can find it there. Well, thank you, Dr. Chang. We appreciate you joining us again this month.
You're most welcome, and give my best to Jamie again.
Will do. Thank you very much.
Take care. Take care now.
Well, being a guy who suffers with allergies, I was paying attention to that today because
You sounded articulate today, Glenn.
Well,
what do you?
That's because I have allergies, and I understand what it takes to to get over it and to have the breathing problems and all that stuff. I thought it would be better when we moved to Florida. Actually, I think it got a little worse when we moved to Florida, and there's a lot more allergens in the air down here. They say you have to move to a non-humid climate like where Jamie lives, but I really don't want to put up with 115-degree days, so...
No, I'm going to pass.
Well, I'll take my allergy medicine and stay in Florida. Thank you very much.
that's interesting about using the Respifree product and working on your horse's allergies before they get really bad, because I think a lot of us as horse folk, because we associate giving our horses effective medications with side effects. For example, bute. Don't use the bute unless you really need the bute. But it doesn't work that way at all with the allergies. You need to get on it before they get bad, and you're going to have a lot better result versus, I'm going to wait until he's coughing and hacking every time I get on his back before I do anything about it. It's really much more effective and better for your horse to jump on it right away. Interesting.
And it is neat that you get to that Dr. Chang offers these freebies when he comes on. You know, he doesn't have to do that. He does that for your benefit out there. So definitely, please take advantage of him and get your free bottle. Only cost you the shipping. So because these bottles are obviously heavy to ship. So we appreciate him doing that as well. And it's OmegaAlphaEquine.com. It's OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Well, coming up next, we have a interview that we did before Jamie. Jamie wanted, wanted so much to get this one done before she went out on maternity leave. So we did it 2 weeks ago, and she was involved. So you'll hear Jamie on this. Thank you to Jennifer, who put 6 months of hard work into getting this put together. It took a long time through many, many layers at Disney to get this done, but Jennifer did it, and congratulations, Jennifer. I know you worked hard at this.
I'm so excited that I actually got an email from someone whose email address is so-and-so at Disney Studios. It was very exciting.
I know that they actually responded and then actually got something done, so that was good.
Yeah, the gal who got this set up for us via Disney Studios was just lovely, because when you speak with people in the movie industry, there are layers and layers and layers of people. It's not as simple as call Bobby up, because that's initially what I did. I contacted Bobby, and he was very kind and very generous and got back to me right away and said, we'd love to do it. Let me submit your request to the folks at Disney. And he submitted it to the folks at Disney, and we had various and sundry communications back and forth over the next 6 months or so, but it's so complicated, and I had no idea how to navigate through those layers, and poor Sharon had to put up with all my really stupid questions.
Even getting the call set up was a bit tricky, because they have certain ways they want to do that too, and we had to have a certain way, so just to get the recorders to work, to get all of us on in the same place at the same time. It actually did work out, though. We had an excellent interview. His name is Bobby Lovgren. He is an animal wrangler and mostly horses. He's worked on many, many movies that you know, Seabiscuit, Racing Stripes, Cowboys and Aliens with Daniel Craig and Harrison Ford. I know. Go ahead, Jennifer. Daniel Craig. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's good.
War Horse with Steven Spielberg. And then Zorro, The Mask of Zorro, Legend of Zorro with Antonio Banderas.
Antonio Banderas.
Yes. So he has worked on so many different movies. He's one of the best known movie animal wranglers in the movies today. He is a super nice guy, and his most recent movie, of course, that he worked on is The Lone Ranger, which is coming out July the 3rd. It's supposed to be released on July the 3rd with Armie Hammer and Johnny Depp. And so in the beginning of this recorded interview, I put the trailer for The Lone Ranger, because you just can't hear it too many times. I know we've played it on the show before, but for those that missed it, you just have to hear it again. So here's our interview with animal trainer and wrangler Bobby Lovgren.
Look at you, city boy. Why would you ever want to come back here?
It's my home.
Little brother, I hereby deputize you a Texas Ranger.
Stats.
To the outlaw.
Make no mistake, law and order has come to the West.
It's a nice hat, by the way. Didn't have a bigger one?
In the great beyond, a vision told me the great warrior
would help me on my quest.
One who has been to the other side and returned.
All I know is that a man killed my brother. If we ride together, we ride for justice.
Justice is what I seek.
Let's do this. I'm looking for a man.
He was in about a week ago. Paid me with this.
You find traitor. You find the man who killed your brother.
I want to show you something.
What could you buy with all that?
A country, Captain.
Who controls the railroad, the cavalry, everything? If these men represent the law, I'd rather be an outlaw.
That is why you wear the mask.
It was a ranger riding a white horse.
got some lunatic Indian with him.
They come for you.
Scared, aren't you? You should be.
These two have a hard time staying dead.
Good morning, Bobby. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Jamie?
Fantastic. It is an honor to talk to you because I am such a huge, huge fan of your work and your standards for safety. Tell everybody what you do, because I'm trying to describe you. On IMDb, they have you as a horse trainer, animal wrangler, horse master. I would consider you a horse whisperer. What do you consider yourself?
You know, really, it's more, obviously, I am an animal trainer, basically, because I do try to do more than just horses. But, you know, most of the time, my expertise really is in the horses. But I would more class myself as an animal coordinator trainer. You know, you get all of the different names, you know, horse master, and that when you go to different countries and places, they, you know, the job title is different and that, but it's all the same thing.
So how does one get into this job that you have?
You know, anymore, it's a very difficult thing because, you know, the animal work has gone. They just don't do that much horse stuff anymore, you know, with Westerns, you know, had gone away, and they only do a few a year. So it is very, very selective and very small, you know. And then also the majority of our work, you have to be in the union, the Teamsters Union, to work as well. So you'd have to get into that. And then also it's difficult to find some way to learn and get the experience to go and work in this business.
Yes. So I was wondering if you were accepting any interns, and I will be there in 20 minutes.
You know, it's funny. I get that so much, you know, and it's very difficult to explain to people, you know, that really, you know, it's because of the union and stuff like that, you can't just have anyone be your intern. You have to first be, you know, basically in the business and have the experience and stuff. And then you can be, you know, a person can be an assistant or however.
Well, we're going to get to your movie that you're currently promoting right now, which is The Lone Ranger, which we have played the trailer for so many times on our show because it just looks and sounds so amazing. But I want to know, back to how you get into this. How did you learn to train horses like this? I mean, some of the movies, of course, we've all seen War Horse, Cowboys and Aliens, we've talked about, Seabiscuit, Zorro. I mean, one of the most fantastic black horses I've ever seen. I didn't know if he was an Andalusian or a Frisian, but oh my God, what a horse. I mean, we've all seen these movies. And the amazing thing, I mean, riding Zorro into somebody's bed and then jumping him out of the window. I mean, just incredible stuff. How do you learn to teach a horse stuff like this?
You know, I was very lucky. I grew up, you know, in South Africa, and we had one of the largest jumping and dressage barns there. So I had, you know, I have a lot of different kind of horse experience and background and stuff. And we did commercial and films there, and I got invited to come out here to the U.S. and I was lucky enough to work for and intern for Glenn Randall Sr., who did, you know, Ben Hur and Trigger, and also then I worked for his son, Corky Randall, who both have unfortunately passed away. But, you know, Corky did all of the Black Stallions and all of those films. So I was just very lucky to be in the right place at the right time. And then, you know, it's a lot about also understanding how film works and stuff like that, you know, for our business.
So basically what I'm hearing is it all goes back to the fundamentals. Ladies and gentlemen, do your dressage, get on a fence, start jumping some fences. It all goes back to basics of get on your horse and do some dressage is what it sounds like. Am I right?
Absolutely. You know, the good basics are always, you know, whenever you have a problem or there's something that you just don't understand or you and your horse don't understand, if you've got good basics, you can always go back and recultivate everything and get everything back.
So let's talk a little bit about the Lone Ranger, because in the previews, it's just haunting and chilling to see Silver up there rearing as he's kind of, I guess, from what I understand, he was loose. And tell us a little bit about the horse that we're going to meet when we go to see the Lone Ranger.
Oh, we were very lucky. He's a great horse. I was lucky enough to do some work with Silver a few years before we did the film. So, you know, it's very difficult on a film like this using white horses. You know, a lot of times on different films, as in Zorro or War Horse, you can cheat a little bit because you can use makeup and color the horses. So you can bring a horse in that has a lot of experience and utilize that. Now, so as on the Lone Ranger, with white horses, you can't do that. You know, you cannot color them to be white. It just doesn't look good on screen. The color is not the same. It's more of a yellow. So you really, really have to go and do your homework and do a lot of training. But Silver has great personality. Really, really interacted with our actors, with Armie Hammer and Johnny Depp. Did so much with them. And he has a lot of personality that I think translates really, really well in the film. And I am very excited to see it. So, we'll see what happens.
We've all seen those movies where the gray horse, you know, it goes galloping by, and in one scene he's dappled, the next scene he's flea bitten, and the next scene he's kind of a mix of both. So that's great that you can't really cheat on this one. Now, tell us about the horse. What is he?
He's a quarter horse, you know. He has a very pink skin and stuff like that. So, you know, you know, therein with that, you know, lots of high maintenance. You know, white horses, you got to keep clean, and they show every spot anyway. But, you know, lots of sunscreen for him, you know, because he's very light sensitive and stuff like that, and would sunburn a lot and stuff. So, you know, a lot of it is, you know, white horses, a lot of hard work with them and stuff. But he is very special. You know, I think he's 10 or 11 this year, and really a very patient horse. Very patient horse. And again, you know, I think his biggest attribute was that he is very, very patient and has a lot of personality. And, you know, in our business, that is the biggest thing. You know, they have to look good on screen, and they have to really, you know, because we do things so many times over and over again, you know, they have to be patient.
So it sounds like he was a little bit of a diva, needing sunscreen and all sorts of baths and special treatments.
Absolutely, and he sure knew it too. So no, he is, and you know, the more attention that he got, and the more people were around, he definitely, you know, I would say, you know, he knew when we were going to work and when we weren't. So he was really, really good to work with.
Do you have any breed in particular that you find is easier to work with for some of the tricks and some of the things they have to do, or is it individual personality?
You know, it is very individual personality. It very much depends on what kind of film we're doing. But you always, you know, for me personally, I like the Frisians and Andalusians.
And who doesn't, know, by the way?
A little bit,
who doesn't?
No, exactly. You know, they have the look and the presence, and they just look so good on screen. You know, even if they don't do their job 100%, my goodness, they look so good that it kind of covers over sometimes. But, you know, any kind of film that you do, you need to have no matter what breed you're using, we always have a lot of horses doing one job. And that's why, in that way, we can cover our safety aspects. We never have them tired. And each one does a different job and has a different personality. Some are quieter for our actors. Some are a little more high-strung for action sequences. So you have to be able to get all of the good things. You know, each animal has his better qualities, and that is my job, is to recognize those qualities and bring that to the table and, you know which horse is good for a particular sequence.
Now, there are a lot of different training methods, and I'm not asking you to give away your secrets here, but is it a positive reinforcement? Is it treat reinforcement? Can you tell us a little bit? What you use?
I do not use treats. I do use positive reinforcement. Them being creatures of habit, I just work a lot on finding what they're good at and bringing that out. But working for food and treats, when you work on a film set, everyone's got an apple, everyone's got food, and those True. Things. And it is very difficult, and it is, even though they are interacting with the actors, where in some scenes maybe the actor has to feed him an apple, but that horse still has to pay attention to me as the trainer. So if he's working for food, he's not going to pay attention to me. He's going to pay attention to whoever's feeding
him. He's focusing
on
one thing.
I lose my faith. Right. So no matter what, I'm still in control. So even though he's doing something with the actor, I have to always have that control.
Well, so I have to ask, are you what you would consider a movie buff? Do you like going to the movies? And if so, what is your favorite movie? And if not, is it just a job and you don't really follow Hollywood all that much?
I actually don't follow Hollywood that much. I go see, the special films and things like that. But I really don't. I enjoy the movie business because I enjoy working in it, being kind of creative. And some of the difficult stuff that we do, it is really nice to be able to work with the directors and figure out how to do stuff. And that's what I enjoy most about my job.
Is there one particular animal that you did also, I noticed Jamie left this out of the credits, Racing Stripes, where you worked with zebras and things. Is there an animal that you worked with that you really, really liked and thought, wow, this is really cool?
I did, Racing Stripes is actually one of my favorite films training-wise because, I was not hired as the zebra trainer going in. I'd worked with the producers and that a lot on different films. So, there were a few little issues and stuff. So they asked me to try and see what we could do. And it was really nice because I wasn't under pressure to actually make it happen. So it was very, very exhilarating having the zebra do all of that stuff loose, because to my knowledge, it had never been done, outside and loose, except, they do it in a circus, which is contained. But doing that outside was very rewarding to me.
So how satisfying is it to sit back and kind of watch on the big screen the finished project of all these little details and nuances that only really you and the people around you that are filming it know about? To sit there and watch it unfold on the big screen must be incredibly rewarding.
It is, and it's more rewarding, just as on The Lone Ranger, Gore Verbinski, our director, was so great to work with, and he was very appreciative of some of the difficult things we did. To me, that is the most rewarding of it. Obviously, seeing it on the big screen is great, but, when the people that you're working for are very happy with your work and they are the ones, saying that to you, that I appreciate that a lot.
I wanted to ask you real quick, a typical movie like, and I think some people have, we always wonder, a movie like the one that you just finished here that's going to be coming out very shortly, how long will you be on set with the animals? Is it months? Is it weeks? Is it condensed down to days?
You know, it's always well on the Lone Ranger. We had our pre-production was for like 3 months, and then we filmed. My goodness, I think it ended up being about 4 months. Okay. But you know, it's not every day that you're on there. It's broken up according to the schedule and things like that. And that's why, you know, if we are on set for a very long time, therein we have the horses playing silver, so that, you know, if one's working a lot, you go switch him out. He goes to the trailer. You know, he has his food, his water there and everything. So it's very much keeping them relaxed and happy, because you might work early in the morning and then only late at night again, but you have to be there all day. So it's managing them and also teaching them, you know, to be ready to work at any point, but having them in a good environment.
Yeah, well, you know, and I think, too, you know, we work in a medium in radio where everything has a beginning, a middle, and an end, and it's done in order. Movies are not filmed that way, which is a hard concept for us to get our mind around.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, and that is what my biggest challenge is a lot of times, is that you might train for something in particular on a certain day, but because of the weather, because of the light, they might not do that at all, and you have to go and film something completely different that you're unprepared for. So, and that is, those circumstances is what you really have to do in your pre-production, is train for those situations. And your horses have to be ready to be able to go and do a different thing. And those are the ones, you know, just as in Silver, being very patient and not worrying about those things. That's what benefits and helps out a lot. Mm.
I think it's great that they must see you coming in, and you're such a professional, and you've been around this business for so long that the old adage of don't work with kids and animals does not apply to you. I mean, you get the job done, and just like you're talking with the zebra, you were able to make somebody else's animals do cool stuff.
Well, you know, I mean, look, the biggest thing is, you know, in film business, it's always a team effort, and it's really not about me or anything, because, you know, if my part works but I can't make it work with the electrics, the grips, the camera people, it's no good. So it always has to work as a team effort, and you know, it is truly, for me and our business, it's more about communication with all of the other people than it is the training. Again, it's not just, you know, my job is just a small part of a big, big puzzle. So I have to be aware of what the other people need to do to get the film done as well. And that way, if it works in with my horses, or work it in with my horses, and that allows that job to be easier.
Now, Bobby, I, before we let you go here, I feel like you and I, we know each other now, and we're really good friends. And I feel like I could bring this to the table. I mean, you've worked with celebrities. Let me just go through the list of Johnny Depp, Julia Roberts. These are just the skim of the top. Tobey Maguire, Harrison Ford, Daniel Craig, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Antonio Banderas. You've worked with all of these celebrities. Now, nobody's listening to this part, okay? You can be honest with me. Who are your favorites, and who are your least favorites you've worked with? Just you and me.
You know, I can definitely tell you Johnny and Armie Hammer on this film were awesome, awesome to work with. I love to work with them again, and hopefully, you know, the Lone Ranger goes big and we do many more of them. They were very, very easy to work with. You know, Antonio and them were, you know, on the Zorros was very good. I very, very rarely have any kind of an issue with an actor or an actress, you know, because they are depending on me as well to look good. And a lot of times working with animals is a stress relief for them, and it gets them away from their real job of really acting. So we spend a lot of time away from work, riding, doing prep for everything. So I very rarely just, you know, have a problem. So I can't say I have a least. I must say the two that we just did Lone Ranger with were awesome.
Cool.
See, politically correct answer. The current ones are the best. I mean, I wanted some drama, Bobby. Come on. Somebody who didn't tip a waitress. Somebody who, you know, like, had, that's what I was looking for. And you're just not good. He's good.
Yeah, he's good.
Glenn.
Thank you. Thank you, Bobby. This has been absolutely terrific. We really appreciate you joining us today. And we can't wait for the movie to come out.
Oh, well, I really hope you guys enjoy it. And it's been a pleasure talking with you.
And that was Bobby Lovegren. Bobby Lovegren, and he is the animal trainer for The Lone Ranger, which, as we said, comes out on July the 3rd. And, of course, as he mentioned there, on many, many, many other movies. It was so nice to be able to talk to him, and what a nice guy. And you could tell that he's used to dealing with celebrities. And I wanted to ask him, is it harder dealing with the celebrities or the horses? But I didn't have the guts to ask him that, Jennifer. I don't want Disney getting mad at us. So
that's right. It took me a long time to get that. Don't you piss anybody off.
No, he's a nice guy. He really was, and we really appreciated him joining us, taking a few minutes out.
He was so humble. He was just a regular guy. That was just the fascinating part to me. You know, there was no ego.
A regular guy that ended up in a really, really cool job. So, yeah. What fun. Well, we're going to take a break now for Equestrian Collections Product of the Week and our Song of the Day. And yes, I'm doing this for all of you Marianne Kennedy lovers out there who love the song Barn Cat. And I know there's a lot of you. So if you're a Barn Cat lover, take a listen. If you hate the thing like Jamie does, then come back in 4 minutes. We'll be back in 4 minutes. Don't go away. We'll be back. Leslie Wiley from Horse Nation will be here in just a minute. Howdy, everybody. This is Glenn from the Horse Radio Network, and I am here with Debbie from Equestrian Collections with the product of the week.
This week, I'm talking denim breeches. We get more calls for denim breeches than you can imagine because they're so comfortable and they're so... you can use them in trail riding and schooling very easily. And you can also wear them to the sport. And this week, I'm featuring the Rolf Ladies Euro Seat Knee Patch Denim Breeches. Now, it says denim, and they do come in denim, but let me tell you, these things come in all different colors. They come in black, brown, faded black, and that's my favorite color. It's kind of a gray with black points on it. These things make you look great. They are very stretchy. As we say on our site, they run large, consider sizing down. But I would say that probably if you could go just one size down, because they are very stretchy and form-fitting. I got a pair, and I got the 34, and it looks fabulous and feels great. So I would say even if you were on the larger side, that these are denim breeches that you might find very comfortable. So take a look at the Rolf brand. Rolf brand is a very well-known brand, very comfortable. We have shirts as well as breeches and all kinds of other breeches. But I wanted to feature the denim this week because that's what everybody wants.
It's back in style again. Years ago, denim breeches were the thing, and then they went out of style, and now they're back in. And these are especially attractive. I know you have one of the comments on your page is from Becky from Winter Springs. And one of the things she said is, I have had many people ask me where I got them because they love the look. And, of course, if you're going to wear denim breeches, that's what you want.
Yes, and when somebody asks where you got them, be sure to say EquestrianCollections.com.
I'm a barn cat, not an alley cat, or a house cat. I don't sit and laugh. I got a real job. I catch mice. It's a tough life. Ooh, I'm a barn cat. Yeah, meow. This is my territory. I got a feeding room and a tack room and four stalls, and I stalk them all. Don't need a litter box. I got a round bin, 60 foot of sand. Yeah, I'm a barn cat, barn cat. Meow, this is my territory. And a king size bed made out of straw. I'm so glad I'm a barn cat. Yeah,
was Jamie's favorite song, Barn Cat by Marianne Kennedy. We hope you enjoyed it. I know there's a lot of you out there that like that, because every time Jamie would bitch about it, we'd hear from the people who actually like it. So now we get to play all the songs that Jamie's don't like over the next month. So that's coming up here on Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with Coach Jen is filling in the co-host chair today. And we are going to be getting to Leslie Wiley from Horse Nation here shortly. Of course, today's episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Helena should be here on Wednesday morning filling in for Jamie in the Wheel of Trivia, the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia. She should be here asking the questions and helping out all day Wednesday. So we're looking forward to having her on board Jamie for a couple of weeks.
Helena gets to play Quizmaster.
Yes, and she'll like that. And you think Jamie was tough? Pfft, it's going to be nothing. Helena will be here with a whip. You look out. She'll be...
You can have a ruler.
Yeah, sorry. I was wondering. We'll see. You know, I was thinking, I wonder if Helena will be tougher than Jamie, but I don't know. She can be awful squishy and soft sometimes. So,
you know what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Our regular listeners are going to, it's going to be tough. But if any kids call in, SOL, it's going to be a prize for everybody.
Yeah, you know what? If you do have kids that could call in on Wednesday, because Helena is a softie for kids. So you definitely want to...
She's a sucker.
Yeah, she is. She definitely is. So Wednesday would be a good day for kids to give us a call. Well, we have a couple of news stories that we can get to while we're waiting for Leslie here. And let's... Where we start? Well, they're doing a lot of, there's been a lot of interesting research that's come out. I know Leslie wants to, we're going to talk about a story with Leslie here shortly too, but there's been a lot of research coming out lately on horses and different things. And one of them is about how a lavender aroma, they've been doing a lot of research on aromatherapy, and this is out of Louisiana's McNeese State University and published in the Journal of Equine Veterinary Science. They found through doing some blind test studies and some other studies that aromatherapy, especially lavender, can help reduce a horse's heart rate. So they said that there can be a significant change in some horses, and it can, and that's a recovery heart rate after they've worked out or done a workout from stress. They can actually see a significant increase or decrease for using 15 seconds of aromatherapy, and that they tried lavender, and they found that lavender was one of the things that really did work. I know lavender soap is nice, so I don't know. I guess I don't know if it reduces human heart rate, but apparently it works in the horses. So that's just a study that came out recently. I thought I'd bring up. I found it interesting. You find that at horsetalk.co.nz.
You know what's going to happen?
What?
Somebody who is clever and wants to make money is going to read this research, and they're going to come out with lavender spritzy spray that you spray at your horse's nostrils after his workout so he can enjoy the benefits of lavender aromatherapy.
You know what I thought?
And it's going to become what?
I thought we could make a ton of money by making lavender halters, lavender-smelling halters.
There we go. See?
Yes.
There we go.
And maybe it has a little...
And then what's going to happen is it's going to become all the rage, and everyone's going to be using it.
And then the FBI will have to outlaw it.
Everybody's going to test positive for lavender.
They'll be outlawing it because it works. Well, it did mention in this study that, let's see here. He said equine owners could utilize lavender aromatherapy as a short-term solution to reduce nervousness among horses in an examination area for treatment following a performance of competition. Well, that kind of defeats a purpose. What they're trying to determine is how naturally the horses come down from their workout to see if they're healthy enough to continue in most cases. So I don't know we want to be messing around with that particular area. But it's funny how he went right for that. This particular doctor. But anyway, we have Leslie Wiley with us with our with our weekly Horse Nation report. Good morning, Leslie.
Hey, guys.
We need
to. You know, it's funny. Funny that you guys were just talking about lavender, because I've actually used, because I've been riding crazy thoroughbreds, you know, all of my life. So I've got, I've experimented with every trick in the book. So I actually have used a lavender essential oil, just sort of a little dab or two on my horse's nose. Brilliant, right? Before a dressage test.
Huh.
Thinking that maybe, it would be like calming and this isn't a stressful situation. You're at the horse spa. It's not a big deal. And I don't know that necessarily. I mean, maybe it makes a marginal difference. My dressage was still always kind of wild and seat of the pants. But another thing that people can use is valerian root. Now, that's not horse show legal. But there's if you use like a valerian, it definitely has calming properties, but it's not legal for horse shows, but you can buy, just at your local herbal store, hippie store, you can get like a little vial of valerian root essence and get a little dab of that. It's not legal for U.S. USCF eventing, maybe it is for your sport. So
That's interesting that you said. It's interesting that you said you put it on the nose before dressage, because this article says there generally were no statistical differences between the control and aromatherapy treated horses for almost all of our statistics except one, and that was a significant decrease in the charge of heart rate. from a stressed heart rate to recovery heart rate. So they really found that what you were doing there didn't work. It didn't work to really reduce their stress. It just only worked to reduce heart rate, which I thought was interesting.
It is interesting.
Yeah.
I think there might be something to it. I know I always feel better if I, you know, put some lavender scented like bubble bath in my, but maybe it's just the bath too. I don't know. Who knows?
Maybe you got it wrong, Leslie. You should have been putting the lavender oil on your nose before dressage.
On my nose.
Yes.
You know, I'm going to try that.
You had it all wrong. The wrong one was getting calmed down.
Maybe that in a shot of whiskey or something. Maybe that's the ticket.
Well, now I got to talk to you. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the stories. I added a couple to your list, by the way, that you had on Horse Nation here recently, because there's always many.
Great.
And we end up, Jamie and I end up talking about your stories as the week goes along, too. So we actually did cover this one a little bit, but I wanted to see what you thought of it. It was the missing horse found with the help of the telepathic communicator. Mm-hmm. Now, we talked about that last week, but let's review it. We'll review it for everybody quick.
Yeah, so basically, there was in Washington, someone's horse escaped pasture and ended up sort of falling down 70 feet down this nearby ravine, and it was kind of where it sort of ended up was stuck on a ledge, and they couldn't find it. They couldn't find it. The owner, you know, spent all day looking, and so finally she calls a local animal communicator to see if, you know, I'm sure she thought, you know, what the heck, I can't hurt her, right? And it took, you know, just like 5 minutes. I think she emailed the woman a photo of the horse, and, you know, she was able to sort of put herself, she put herself in the horse's, like, you know, being or present, and was able to, you know, be like, so there's a roadway, I can hear cars, and I can hear a river, and this, that, and then said this information to the owner, and the owner is like, I know what that is, that's the ravine. And so they went and were able to locate the horse immediately. So, I don't know, pretty cool.
Have you ever done animal communication with your horses or anything?
You know, I consulted an animal communicator on an event mare that I had a while ago, and while she didn't really tell me anything profound, you know, it was interesting. It was just like, I'd never, you know, certain things that I was like, I'd never thought about that before, you know. I was at a horse show recently and ran into the sister of a woman who had bought one of my old horses, a horse that is very dear to me. I owned him for 8 years. We sort of learned how to event together. Now he lives in Florida. He's doing show jumping now. And the sister had told me, well, you know, he just didn't seem quite right. So we had he just didn't seem to be performing, you know, up to par. And so we had the acupuncturist out to just see if we could locate, you know, some sort of physical problem. And the acupuncturist happened also to be an animal communicator. And she said, she told Rowdy, that's the horse, Rowdy's owner, that Rowdy was upset because his old owner hadn't come to see him lately and that she'd been in a car accident, which is, in fact, true. I was in a car accident, and a pretty bad one last summer. And I haven't seen him. And, you know, it's one of those, like, he sort of... you know, sort of got away from me, and I haven't caught up with him lately. So I thought that was interesting. I thought, you know, there might be something to that.
I
don't know.
Regular listeners of the show know I'm a skeptic when it comes to that. And we have a good friend, Anna Twinney, is one of the top in the country. And we've done special episodes where it was just her and I for an hour talking about this. And I believe that there are people that are better with animals, that can communicate, quote unquote, better with animals, that, you know, that have an innate natural ability to understand animals and understand their, you know, what they're thinking and what they're going through emotionally. So, I do agree with that. Whether you can call somebody on a phone and they can tell you, I'm not sure. In this case, you know, I had my doubts because just what the animal communicator said. And then I saw a quote, I saw a comment on your post from somebody named 48 North, and this is what they said. I'm not sure if this was a case of tuning into the fjord's thoughts. It was a fjord that was lost, or just a lucky guess on the part of the communicator. I saw the story on local TV news the other day, and when the communicator said she got the images of rushing water, traffic noise, and shrubbery, I thought they were right next to I-5. The busiest highway there. And the only place you would not have shrubbery and water would be in the middle of downtown Seattle. I like to think the story was really a case of animal communication, but I'm pretty skeptical. And I was, too. It's like, I could say there's rushing water or, you know, you could come close by just making up some things. And you know, maybe it just jogged the memory of these people that were like, oh, we didn't look over there. I don't know. Maybe I'm overanalyzing here, but
I don't know. It's interesting, isn't it? Whether it's true or not.
Regardless, I'm glad they found the horse. It worked to find the horse, so in that case, it worked, right?
Right. That's right.
Hey, you probably didn't hear is last Wednesday, we on our every Wednesday when we do our Wheel of Trivia, and I don't know if you were listening last week, I know you call sometimes, we actually took one of your stories and we asked everybody about it is whether they mount from a mounting block or not. So everybody that called in that day, we asked everybody that was on the show that day. And the consensus was what, Jennifer, about 80% use a mounting block. And the older you get, the higher the mounting block gets. So
they're directly related.
That's right. So I don't know if that's what your article found, but.
For me, I'm a 5'1 with my hair teased, you know. So to mount from a mounting block or not is never really an issue for me. I always have to, you know, climb up on something. But we did post a couple of videos that were kind of interesting. One that was mounting from a high mounting block, and then and these are in very, very, very slow motion. I can't remember how many frames per second, but really slowed down footage. And the other one is someone mounting their horse from the ground. And that one's kind of interesting because the saddle gets tugged off to the left, and the horse, you can see the horse sort of visibly shifting its weight and sort of collapsing one side of its body and then righting itself. And in super slow motion, it looks, you know, kind of traumatic, rather than someone kind of coming down from above and easing into the saddle. But, sometimes you don't have a mounting block. I think that's a skill you've sort of got to have anyway.
I thought that, you know, it was interesting because this was done by Centaur Biomechanics who did this high-speed camera, which is 300 frames per second. And you're right, it absolutely was interesting. And at 300 frames per second, I thought the one where they were mounting from the high block, it almost looked like she jumped onto the horse. It did, you know, if that was slow motion, geez, she just went for it.
But this was a high mounting block, right? But maybe she'd be like, she was parachuting in onto her horse and just cropped that part out.
It's like she took a flying leap. But so that was the verdict we came up with, is about 80%. Now, everybody agreed that you should know how, you should be able to, in a pinch, when you're out on a trail ride and you dismount or come off for some reason, that you should be able to get back on your horse if you have to. So everybody kind of agreed on that. And then there's Prancercise, which we did talk about last week, but now there's been a whole bunch of parody videos, hasn't there?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I mean, this is one of those things that, you know, if we have listeners today that weren't tuning in last week or happen to have no idea what we're talking about, you know, it's this video, it's this exercise video that a Florida woman invented.
Oh, wait a minute. I didn't know she was from Florida. You're kidding, right?
Of course she's from
Florida. Oh, my God.
Jeez.
Oh, I'm sure.
Her name's Joanna Rohrbeck. Rohrbeck. Tell me, do you really think...
Yeah.
Well, go ahead. Keep explaining what it is. If you can explain good luck.
Yeah. So she came out with this sort of workout tape / fitness system, you know, with a book with it, you know, and in 89 called Prancercise, and it never caught on until this week. She started, she had started posting Prancercise videos to YouTube, and of course, you know, somebody found it, and it just went viral. Basically, Prancercise is a fitness program that's inspired by the motion of horses. Like, so I think that's a loose interpretation. It's a real stretch. but because it basically looks like this workout entails sort of like, I don't know.
Three martinis?
Right. It's hard to describe.
Or a three martini lunch.
Yeah. That's probably the best description. The sort of saunter, like a jazzy little, you know, and she kind of trots. And there's what, you know, she trots. And then there's a movement called the gallop, you know, where she's kind of galloping in this prancy little way. I don't know. You just have to watch the video. But since then, of course, you know, just like we had Gangnam Style, and then what was the one after that?
Oh, the Harlem. There was a Harlem one too.
Yeah, the Harlem Shake.
Yeah.
Well, this is in just following along that that precedent. You know, people have started creating spoof videos. You know, remixing it to different music. You know, or showing their interpretations of Prancercise. It's pretty funny. I have to look at YouTube today to see if any
new
videos have come out over the weekend.
Last week, her video was, when I watched it, when we talked about it on the show, which was Friday, I believe, was at a million, or Wednesday or Friday we talked about it. It was at 1.5 million views. Right now, it's at 5 million views.
Oh, my goodness. I'm not surprised. This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
And you said this was done? I didn't realize it was done a long time ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was, she made it in 89. And, you know, it just didn't take off. Maybe she never gave up on it, I guess.
I'm reading some of the comments on YouTube, and this one says, I basically walk like this already, and I'm thinking, oh, your neighbors love you. They look out the window and say, there's that guy, you know?
There's that guy.
Yeah. Now, there apparently, I told Jennifer, you know, she has to get this woman on. Wouldn't that be a fun interview? And it would be a fun, no, you have to get her on. Let's make that your assignment for next Monday. Leslie, get her on the show next month.
Oh, my goodness.
But apparently there was an interview with her on What's Trending. There's a website called whatstrending.com, and it's all about the YouTube videos that are trending. And apparently they did talk to her. Now, I haven't watched it. I just saw it here, so I haven't seen that yet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I bet she is in demand for it. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we, you know, saw her on a late-night talk show or Today show. But you know what I'd be curious about is whether she actually, you know, whether she's just, you know, insulted by the attention that it's getting, or, you know, maybe not. Maybe she's, you know, this is the break that she's been waiting for, and she doesn't care if they're making fun of her as long as she's making money, you know, because I'm sure her book is sold out on Amazon, you know.
Well, I didn't realize there was a book either.
There is a book. Yep. Oh, yes.
Oh, it's $25. Yes. It's, by the way, there are still some available. Just thought I'd let you know.
Oh, well, there you go. I need to get one of those.
It gets 4.5 stars on Amazon.
I'm sure it does. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wait a minute. I can't let this go. Here is the first comment on Amazon. 5 stars from somebody called Call Me Prancer. So that tells you something. This book finally let me experience my inner horse. I was like a child again, prancing through the woods. At one point, I was convinced I had 4 legs. A smile radiated from my face. I punched the sky, knowing that I was free. Ooh.
No way. Oh, my goodness.
And I do hope that wasn't one of our listeners that posted that. If it was, I apologize in advance. So.
Oh, no. If one of our listeners posted that, I salute them.
Oh, I love the one comment you had, too. I just can't let this go. This is a comment from Rachel on your website. What a crackpot. The FBI banned action devices, including weights for gated breach. She must have missed a memo. This workout is not FBI legal.
Not FBI legal.
If you have not seen this video, you have to go watch it. Although, if you have not seen it, you have not been on Facebook in the last 5 days. So,
yeah.
Oh, hey, a couple other things, too, before I let you go. You had, on a more serious note, you had an article, too, on your weekend wrap-up over the weekend about equine behaviorist studying something with people and about how horses recognize people. What was that about?
You know, Jenny wrote that, and I have not even caught up on my weekend reading yet.
Well, yeah, I can help out here a little. It said in the study done at the University of Sussex, UK, mares outperformed geldings when performing the task of matching a voice to a face, but all the horses did better with a familiar person was standing to their right side. Scientists say this suggests the process of voice recognition is taking place in the left hemisphere of the horse's brain.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. Jennifer, you always have an opinion on this kind of stuff. What do you think? Oh, Jennifer, are you there? Oh, you were on mute, I think.
Oh, there we are. Too many dialing buttons. Okay. Horse hockey. How many horses did they test? 4?
Yeah, I don't know. It didn't say.
Really? Horse hockey.
Horse hockey.
Okay, well, we know how Jennifer feels about that one. And then there was another one that we have to mention, because every time there's a calendar that comes out with mostly naked women riders on horses, mm-hmm. I have to mention it. Well, to be fair to all of our females out there, I'm sure that Leslie caught up on this particular article called Friday Flicks Need a Date?
Yes, you know, Amanda Ronan, who is our movie critic, wrote this, and it has nothing to do with movies. She just wanted to write about this. She stumbled across this Swedish calendar. It's a horse. It features mostly naked men with cleverly placed
tack. Let's like just call it tack. Yeah. Bridles, hats, saddles.
Right. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the story is with this calendar. But I want one. I know that.
So all of you that want to see more of the pictures of the guys, who, by the way, are all in very good shape, not surprisingly, can be found at horsenation.com. Just look for the Friday Flicks Need a Date and the picture of the naked guy holding a hat in front of him. By the way, it's not a helmet. It's one of those not approved hats. Just saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think hunt caps are okay for that purpose.
Do you think maybe he needed a top hat?
I don't know.
Just saying.
Probably.
You know, Jamie would be having a fit right now if I had said that when she was here.
She would be loving it. tell Jamie I said congratulations. That's so exciting.
I definitely will. Definitely will. Now, one other thing before I let you go. There is a contest going underway in event in England, but you can submit from all over the world. And I was wondering if you were going to do this. It's put out by, let's see here, British Eventing. And it's the second year this competition is going on in conjunction with Horse Hub. And you can actually, what they want you to do, the object of the competition is for fans of the sport to capture the spirit of eventing, be it with cross-country action, behind-the-scenes footage, or savoring the elegance of the dressage phase. And they want you to do a video capturing the spirit of eventing. And send it in, and you can win up to $1,000 in photographic gear, so cameras or whatever. So this is the second. Are you going to do it?
Well, you know, I remember when this video, when this contest happened last year, and finalists all were just these gorgeous videos. You know, they look like movie trailers with dramatic music and horses galloping and jumping cross country in slow motion, and it's all very, you know, I am not that a sophisticated a videographer at all.
I don't think
you wouldn't want to see a video that I put together.
I don't think we'll be submitting either, actually.
No.
Jennifer started editing video last week, but I don't think you're quite ready for this, Jennifer. You have to practice some more.
No, I'm gonna start with the local county fair, I think, first. I'm not quite ready for worldwide recognition yet.
But if you want to learn more about this, just go to British Eventing. You can find more information about this particular, or horsehub.com. You can find more information about that. Well, thank you, Leslie, so much for being here. It's horsenation.com. Check it out every day. She does multiple posts a day, and they're always a lot of fun. We appreciate you being here every Monday.
Absolutely. Take care and have a great week.
Okay, thanks, Leslie. Well, thank you again, Jennifer, for filling in today. As I said, we'll be back on Wednesday. Hopefully, Helena will be here from the Stable Scoop Radio Show to join us. I got all this news for today, and we didn't even have time to get to any of it. So we'll save some of that for Wednesday as well. And the usual cast of characters should be here on Wednesday. We'll have the European Report and also thehorse.com. Tomorrow, I will be back in the morning with Tune Tuesday. That's right. It's time for some tunes again. So I'll be back tomorrow morning with that. Congratulations again to Chad and Jamie and the entire clan out there. We wish them the very best, and I'm sure she'll be checking in on occasion here when the baby is not screaming. Do you want me to should I play the opener out again just so that we can play it more than once, because it'll be the only time I put all this work into playing it, putting it together. I want to be able to
Glenn,
yeah,
here's the thing. Yeah, you did play it at least a half a dozen times this morning before the show started.
Yeah.
So I think that pretty much uses your limit. You should use the regular one because, frankly, I'm tired of hearing it.
Okay. She's just tired of hearing baby screams. See what I said, people? See how she is? That's the way she is.
Yeah. Just play the regular one. Thank you.
All right. You can hear all of our shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. You can drop us an email if you have a guest idea. We've been getting more guest ideas here recently. Just send them to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. And also, if you want to listen to us on your iPhone, your iPod, or anything like that, the easiest way to do that is just to hop on over to iTunes and subscribe. You can get the recorded show there every day, about an hour after the show is over. The recorded version comes out, and you can take a listen over there as well. Thank you, everybody. We'll talk to you again on Wednesday. Have a terrific day.
Oh, thank you.
You made it through another one, Jennifer.
I need some valerian.